everyone, welcome back to the Double Clans podcast. With me, Robert Welsh.
And me, James Welsh.
Hi, James.
Hi.
talk to them about your new voice.
No, I'm shy. So we've just, James has just moved house.
Finally.
A few doors down from me. And I'm trying, you can hear it in my voice, I don't want to talk. And so we're setting up a new kind of setup in his estudio.
Yeah, my estudio.
And we've got microphones here. Marcus is with us. Marcus, hi.
Hi.
Oh, okay.
That's enough.
So he's very kindly set up all, better, we want better sound, basically. Mm. So we have just discovered, and this has been an ongoing problem for me in my videos, in my editing, my voice echoes a lot.
It's naturally very tinny.
My voice is naturally tinny, and we've just discovered now that it's just my voice.
Yeah, because I tried your microphone. Mm. So we sound test before we record anything, just to make sure the audio is good. And Robert was echoey and tinny, and I was absolutely fine, I being James. Mm. So I tried Robert's microphone, and my voice was absolutely fine in it.
It's my problem. It's my voice.
So now use your new voice.
This is my new voice.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Please let us know what you think of Robert's new voice.
Yeah, thank you.
The problem is your first note is like tin, so it's like clink. And then your second note, you're like, oh.
That's your voice.
I'm going to go and leave this with James and Marcus. Good luck. Good luck, Marcus. Talk about makeup. So, well, anyway, this, I'm just going to be me. This is me.
Oh, my God.
I hate this so much.
This is real. This
no,
is
that's
me.
Not what I was The Greatest Showman.
Oh, my God.
It was in every single thing ever. Yeah. Anyway.
Only women with beards are allowed to sing
yes.
that.
Yeah.
No, I really hope they don't hear this, but where we used to live, our neighbours used to sing it, like, every day.
Where was this?
Oh, you.
Yeah. You.
Oh,
God.
Not my name. I hate it.
I mean, like, if you find it empowering, keep doing it, but also don't.
But also don't stop. So last week, just so we get on it with the program.
Are you wearing makeup?
Oh, I'm trying the new Dr. Sam SPF 50 thing.
It looks lovely.
Does it
have a tint to it?
Yeah, it does. I'm doing a wear test today because I'm going out to Pets at Home later. To see how it is.
Oh,
is that really obvious,
is that your new video? Trying my new makeup in Pets at Home.
Will I get sawdust stuck to my face? No, it's just me trying it.
It looks really nice.
Industrial estate makeup. Fine. B&Q.
I was just trying it. I can't do anything right today. Anyway, what was I saying? So last week, we missed last week, obviously because James was moving house.
Hi.
And we were all very busy. All meaning just James. So we couldn't really record. So we decided to do a giveaway. We gave away, what was it? I did a Juvia's Place palette.
Cosrx BHA Blackhead Power Liquid.
Yeah, Marcus, you...
Well, because when I was on, I said water was my thing. I tried to find something similar to water, so I found pillow mist.
You know, there's an Evian spray water that you could have just been like, this is Evian water.
Oh.
So we are giving those three things away. Marcus, you have randomly selected a winner.
Yeah, I went up and down on the thing and then pushed my finger down.
That's a really good way of doing it.
Yeah, it quit me up. the winner is Goldie_Lee_11.
Yay!
Congratulations.
And we've actually swapped out your prize for his and hers tool set. So
we have the right to change the prize at any time.
So listen, we'll DM you.
I'll do that now.
And claim your prize. So, I don't know, I guess music here?
No, we have to do all the other stuff.
Oh, shit, yes. So I'm so affected by the news of my voice. James, I have an inquiry.
Right.
Inquiry.
An inquiry.
Yeah, I know you're busy with moving house. And
yeah, I am quite busy.
Is there anything you've been loving?
Oh, you know what? There is. And it's something we've talked about in a previous... Actually, I don't know if it was an episode that we deleted in the end.
Oh.
Because it was terrible.
Because of my tinny voice.
Because of your tinny voice. But this is the Elf Water Droplet Balum.
Balsam. Oh, water.
It's Marx's collaboration with Elf.
Oh, can you take it out of the package?
Yeah, so what I really, really like about this... Hang on, let me talk about it first. It's a cream... I've gone shy. It's a cream that's just super, super hydrating. I'm trying to find the ingredients. Marcus, cut this bit out. Yeah, it's just like a really, really hydrating cream. It's got loads of humectants in, which are things that attract water to the skin and retain moisture, and emollients that trap it in. But I like skincare that's like a little bit fun.
I think you showed me this. And I didn't understand.
I tried to show you it on camera.
Yeah.
Put your fingers in there. Thank God for preservatives. Yeah. Mm. This is why you need parabens in your product.
This is the thing I used to pick up that tune.
Right.
Oh my God. What?
Yeah. So it's like a cream that turns into water on the skin, but it's really hydrating.
It's kind of sweating. I think it doesn't feel like a cream. It feels like a balm.
Mm.
And then it feels like it like you said, turns to water.
Exactly.
How?
But it's really nice on the skin.
Oh, that feels lit.
Yeah, it's not for those with sensitive skin, though, because it's got quite a few fragrance in it.
It does. It is quite heavily fragrant.
Yeah, so if you've got sensitive skin, it's not the best. But I like to kind of, like, put this on under like a really heavy moisturizer.
Mm.
So wherever I'm dry, I'll do that first, and then I'll like put like something like this, like the CeraVe healing ointment, which is literally like fancy Vaseline. Just put that all over my face. Oh shit, I just hit the mic. Just put that all over my face. Watching straight people apply skincare is the most terrifying thing. So Mark's just applying this balm to his face in the most aggressive, horrible way I think I've ever seen. It's all gathering around his nostrils.
Well, I've got a really dry nose.
Right, who put their fingers in it like that? Was that
not
you?
Me, but definitely wasn't me.
God.
Oh, God, sorry.
Right, I'm putting that away now.
It feels like I'm really sweating under my arm.
Yeah, because you have to rub it in properly, not like the way you did.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Do a video on that.
Yeah. Marcus is starting his own skincare channel. Robert, I'm sorry like to do this in front of everyone.
Mm.
Oh, God.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but is there anything you've been loving this week?
Yeah, what did I say at the beginning?
You said you're not sure, and I said make it up, it doesn't matter, all makeup's the same.
Okay, so that's pretty rude.
Yeah, it's just me being rude.
Oh my God, usually I'm at home and I can run into my filming room and look at what I've
got. You literally look around you.
Oh,
just name something you see in my room.
Okay, the Virgin Mary with blood coming out.
Can we just talk about what you did with my room spray?
So I walked into James's
Estudio.
And I saw Diptyque, which is a fragrance company. And so I picked it up. And as a joke, you know when people spray fragrance, but they hold it right
really close to their neck
and it drips down? I did that to my neck, thinking it was perfume, but it's a room spray. And now
I was
really
like, what are you doing?
Really hurts my neck. But it's fine.
That's fine.
Wait, let me just quickly close my eyes and think about what I've been using.
Okay, sorry. That's
seamless.
Going to be edited out.
Seamless introduction. Oh, I've thought of something that I've been loving.
Terrible.
Just carry on as usual. So recently, okay, I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way because I do wash my face and remove my makeup properly.
Good.
But so many people ask about these nasty makeup eraser cloths.
Oh, I just don't
like
get it.
I fucking hate them. I think they're the grossest thing ever.
It's a fancy makeup wipe without all the shit on it.
It's a microfiber cloth.
Yeah, like who cares?
It's
a towel.
With it. Yeah. Yeah. So I tested some recently because everyone was like, please try them. I don't recommend them in any way at all.
Right.
Because I think they are shit.
Right.
And they hurt. Mm-hmm. And one, I use the Halo ones. Halo something, I can't remember the exact name.
Mm.
And I use them to take off my makeup. And then I went over my face with a face wash and a white cloth, like a normal facial tissue, like the ones you get with Liz Earle Cleanse and Polish.
Facial tissue.
Yeah,
muslin cloth.
Yeah, and makeup was still coming off my face.
This is a thing as well. It's not about what you're using to remove your makeup. It's the action of what you're doing to remove your makeup. The thing with cleansing oil or a balm is it's smooth over the skin. Your fingers actually slide across your skin. With a Halo, microfiber cloth, you know, anything like this, like makeup eraser, it's still that rubbing motion of your skin, and then you're having to rub over the eyes.
Exactly.
If you've got waterproof makeup on, you're still having to go in on that makeup.
So here's the thing.
Right.
So if I use a Halo one on my eyes. I can't remember what, I think it's called Halo, face Halo or something
like that. Yeah, the little round ones.
So painful, so painful. I use it on my eye. I pressed it gently on my eye, just water, straight onto eye makeup, and wiped it off. And I was like, well, that fucking hurt.
Mm.
And then I use the Elf one. Cleansing Clouds, I think.
Oh, we both talked about Elf today.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And
not Spawn.
Non-Spawn.
And, but it's almost like it has, like, longer hair.
Yeah.
I don't think it's hair.
It's just a pad covered
human
in hair.
Human hair cleansing pads. No, it just felt more comfortable.
Mm.
So, but I don't think that is an alternative for cleansing. I think it's nice to get that. If I use too much eye makeup remover, if I film, like, two videos in a day, my eyes will get sore, but I use that to wipe off the surface, and then I go in with like a balm or something to actually melt the makeup down just to get rid of that pressure a little bit. So that's what I've been like. It was the only one that didn't hurt. And I have used a cleansing cloth before, makeup eraser. I thought it was just shit.
Aren't they just like, no, it's like chamois leathers?
No, a chamois leather is that like smooth material.
They're already soft when
microfiber
they're wet.
Cloths.
Oh, yeah. I just don't see it. I did a video about like skincare things I wish would like die, or whatever I called it, which I wish would die in a horrible accident. And one of them was a face halo, and people was like, oh, you know, I just use it, but I use mine with a cleanser. Because yeah. I was saying, going by the instructions of a face halo, you just use water to remove your makeup, right? That's what the instructions say.
That's disgusting.
Which is horrible to me. And people are like, oh yeah, but I use mine with a cleanser. What's the point then? Just use an oil cleanser.
And I think it's quite a harsh thing to use. If you're going to use a cleanser,
yes,
you don't need that harshness of it. Get, like you said, a muslin cloth, which is a lot smoother. If you need a cloth, use your hands, you know?
Save
yourself some washing.
Your hands are the best tools.
Your hands are the best tools.
Tools.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Three, two,
one. Music.
So today, what we wanted to talk about is mainly...
Why are you panicking?
Because I forgot already. And we just spoke about it a second ago. What were we talking about? Things that we...
So listen,
go on.
We talk about a lot of skincare makeup rules. Like rules and regulations. Yeah. And I always say, like, there always seems to be like a new thing you mustn't do. Like every single week there's like, don't do this, or you should be doing this. Yeah. But who does this and who doesn't do this? Ooh. So today I thought we'd talk about things that we usually preach against.
James taking credit for it again.
I did.
Today I thought that I would talk about...
Great. Bring up a group chat.
It's I just think it's a team.
As mentioned in the previous podcast, there is one person who comes up with the ideas for each episode. And it's not Marcus or Robert. So I thought myself, while I was on the toilet messaging you, that we would talk about things like skincare and makeup things that we do in private
sure.
that aren't necessarily bad, but aren't necessarily great, and things that just actually work, and do not talk until
I was going to say, here's the thing, although sometimes it's all well and good at saying things like, you know, don't do this, sometimes the things that you're not meant to do just make things... quicker
and easier. Like I did a video called No Bullshit Ways to Remove Blackheads, and right at the beginning of the video I was like, don't do this because you shouldn't be doing these, but they just get the job done.
Yeah,
but it doesn't necessarily mean you should be doing it.
True.
Or should you?
What
confusing episode.
Do and don't do this. It's easier for you, but it's bad
for you. Well, let's start. I'll start with an example. Mm. So one thing that a lot of like skincare gurus, I hate that word as well.
Influencers
and gurus are the worst.
Yeah.
Preach against is blackhead removal strips. Mm. Now, the idea is that, so what are they and what do they do? So if you don't know what these are, there's little nose pore strips that you put on your nose, you peel them off, and they remove what people think are blackheads, when really it's sebaceous filaments that are supposed to be in your face.
It's really nice to look at it, like shine your phone torch on it. And
put it on like a horizon and see the little bumps.
Like little trees.
Beautiful. cutie little pustules. The problem here, or the thought of the problem, is that first of all, you're not removing blackheads, like I just said. These are sebaceous filaments, and it's basically just the way your natural oils work.
Yeah.
Also, if you are getting a blackhead, you're not pulling it out, you're ripping it in half. So that blackhead is still in your nose. So whether you think you've pulled them out or not, you haven't. You've just ripped it in half, so it's still in there.
Right.
So this is why people always say, like, use a BHA. It's like an exfoliating liquid.
So would it be beneficial in any way to use one of them and then follow it up with a BHA?
Absolutely never fucking do that.
Oh.
I did that. Okay, so here's why. Because when you rip that off, it's basically an exfoliation. So you're removing a layer of skin. Like
what
dead
about
skin?
Later in the day?
Maybe in the evening if you do it in the morning. Mm. But I did that once, think it'd be a really good idea, maybe about a year ago. Mm. And it stung. My nose was red for about a week.
You don't think of it. When you peel, it's almost like waxing. Like you wouldn't go straight on top with like... vinegar. Face vinegar. Or something that would
hurt. Do not use vinegar after this wax.
Well, we'll see later. Another mistake. You don't think it exfoliates.
Because your skin is a little bit raw, right? So the thing is, I did one last night. I did it. And I'm going to admit it. Because
I bought two packs at the beginning of the week.
And they're good. But this is the thing. It's like, whilst they're not inherently bad, like dermatologists will say, they're good at improving the appearance of the yeah. nose, but they're yeah. not necessarily actually doing much.
Right.
So they're good to do maybe once a week maximum. Mm. So don't do it. But do it.
That's what I like it for, because I haven't done one for ages. Mm. It was literally when I ordered this pack. I was like, you know what? I kind of just want to see if it will help the texture on my nose, especially filming my nose straight up and mm-hmm. putting makeup on my nose. It does help. It makes it look a little bit smoother, a little bit more cleaner almost. Mm. Cleaner? Is that? Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah, just like a little bit decongested.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I would say is, when you do it, I would do it in the evening. I personally do it in the evening, and then I will smother my nose in like a soothing moisturizer, like something with like Centella, for example. You get those kind of moisturizers everywhere now, and then cover my face in like a healing ointment. So whether that's CeraVe healing ointment or literally Vaseline, just keep everything in there and soothed and not dehydrated. Mm. And then, yeah, then don't do anything.
Yeah.
Just okay. Then sleep on that.
These...
Marcus Welsh, everyone.
Vivacious filaments?
Sebaceous.
Vivacious.
I'm really confused. So those things that come out on the thing
yeah.
are not blackheads.
They're not blackheads, no.
Put your phone on silent, you stupid bitch.
Why would you have it on loud?
I usually do.
It's on loud so you can attend to it and then come back and talk about something different.
Yeah. We're here to supervise that. Yeah.
Put your phones in this bin.
Wicker basket.
Once you wash your hands.
Right, so I've ripped it off. They're mm-hmm. not blackheads.
No.
So these things that are there... Mm-hmm. sometimes look really obvious mm-hmm. and like quite ugly, but mm. other times they don't look as bad. Mm. So how can I make them not look as bad or as obvious?
So using something like a BHA, so a beta hydroxy acid, so right. a salicylic acid. BHA is a version of salicylic acid, sorry, because what that is an exfoliator that can... What the fuck was
did
that?
Did you hear
neck?
That? Yes. That was me cracking my neck.
Oh, you're going to have like, bad
to
neck when you're older.
I haven't been to chiropractor in like a month.
Oh my God.
But sorry.
Loose bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need that again. That can basically break down the oils and clear out your pores, to put it very, very simply. Yeah. So using that like 2 to 3 times a week yeah. constantly is better in the long run than just occasionally using these blackhead strips. And I think that's really what it is these blackhead removal strips, pore strips, are a temporary short-term solution, when if you just put a bit of dedication in for like 2-3 months mm-hmm. using a salicylic acid like serum or yeah. exfoliating toner, then for the whole time you're using it, your pores are going
to
look like that.
I do have to say, yeah. What's that subscription box that only send you benefit stuff all the time?
The one where you get your vegetables.
Hello Fresh. No, it's a beauty one. What's it called?
I don't know.
Beauty box. I can't remember.
Boxy Charm.
No, I don't know what that one is. I know what that is. What
yeah.
is that one?
Stuff in a box.
Stuff in a box. What is it?
Benefit in a box.
Benefit in a box. I stopped the subscription because Birchbox.
Birchbox.
Because they always sent you benefit stuff, and I'm not like a hugest benefit fan. And one time I got, it was like a mini Paula's Choice, the BHA AHA thing.
BHA, where is it? It should be there.
That one. I used that for, it must have been, I don't know, like 3 weeks. And then I started seeing a huge change in my nose. Like, it looked really clear. And I was like, this is great.
In terms
and then
of
it,
less
blackheady. Okay. It looks
less texture.
It
looks smoother.
Yeah. And then I ran out of a sample. Not sample, like the mini size. And I just never used it again. And everything just went back to normal.
I have loads of it if you want some.
Oh,
I literally got back stock of it.
I was about to ask. I know this is really selfish for a podcast.
Yeah.
Have I got BHA? Do you know?
What, within you or at your house?
Because everyone has a BHA has within them.
You don't have a BHA now. I'll give you one before you leave. Please remind
Thanks
me.
Thanks everyone. Thanks for listening to that.
I hope it inspired everyone.
Yeah. Robert.
Yes. I'm going to say something really controversial.
Okay.
And this is something I really do not recommend at all.
This is going to end us before we even
made it. This is going to be, we're going to have to be taken off everything.
Yeah.
Expired makeup. So here's the thing. I would never use a mascara, anything around my eyes that is expired. So like a mascara that I've had for longer than 3 months, that's a lie. I have one. I'll throw it away when I get home. I would never use it around my eyes because it's dangerous. However, I've used foundations that are expired. I've used lip products that are expired. I used a palette the other day that I think I've had for about 3 years.
Go on. What? Okay, so skincare comes with that, like the tub with the 12 month.
Yes,
is that same skincare?
Yeah, exactly the same. Okay. The POW, right. Point of admiration.
Right, isn't it POW? No, wait.
No, PAU?
I don't know.
Is it even a P?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys know what I mean. It's the little tub and it has a number in it. So it's usually the foundation's 12 date. Months. Yeah, things like that. So, of course. And here's why I think I do it. Because I have... And again, I would never recommend it. Don't do it. Like you, I have like a library, let's call it, of makeup. And there's so much stuff in there that... I've reorganized it so I can see it a little bit more. But there's so much stuff. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't used that for ages. And I use it. And I'm like, I got this... when I lived at this place.
Oh God,
which
yeah.
was 3 years
3 years ago. Yeah.
And it's really not, but then it kind of like mind boggles me because it's really bad for your skin to use, say for example, an expired foundation, especially those ones that separate a little bit
more. I was going to say, don't they like separate into like oil and like
exactly, like there's some oils, especially the more natural ones or like skin tints, they have the balls in and you shake them up and things like that. And I've actually had I got weird bumps on my skin once from using an old expired MAC face and body. I think I was going somewhere and I didn't have anything. And it was like a makeup-y thing. I was like, well, I can't go to a makeup-y thing without foundation. So I went into my kit and I got a face and body. Didn't realise it was expired. This was... when was it? I think it was when I came back from America the first time. So I hadn't used my kit for a year. And instead of throwing... Oh, yeah. And then I came back and it was like, they separate sometimes anyway. So I shook it up and used it. My skin, the bumps that it came out in, it looked like a heat rash, but not red.
So what are you telling people use expired makeup? Don't use expired makeup. Use it.
But there are things that I believe aren't going to damage your face. If that makes
share,
sense.
Please share.
Powders,
exact products.
Powder blush. Powder highlight, powder bronzer, eyeshadows. Although it's around the eyes, you can always, as long as it hasn't got like a layer of like mold or a layer of something. Powders very rarely expire as quickly as the people suggest.
Yeah,
people
make it suggest. This is a thing, like with preservatives and stuff, if a skincare product has water in, you want your parabens and you want your preservatives in there. If it's got oil, if it's got things that help oil and water merge together, do all that kind of stuff. But I guess with powders, I've never looked at the ingredients, but they're not going to have water.
You can get like water powders that do have water in, but they're very obviously they're called like magic water powders, and it's just a wet powder that looks creamy on the skin. But other powders, I really don't see the harm. Yeah. I sanitize everything anyway. I have a little spray sanitizer. And have sanitizing wipes that you can wipe the, especially made for makeup, that you can wipe palettes with and everything like that. Obviously, don't use an expired mascara. That should be clumpy anyway. You would know it's expired.
Mm.
Lips, I'm kind of like,
yeah.
That's okay. But if it doesn't smell like Play-Doh, if it doesn't smell like crap, then I think it's okay. And I'm not talking... with lip products like 5 years later, oh my God, here's a lipstick.
Like scrape that mold off and
you'll
be fine.
Maybe you bought it a year ago and you're just slightly over the year expiry.
It's your 13th month.
If your 13th month, then go ahead, absolutely fine. But do protect your skin and make sure you wash everything off properly before. But like we said, this is things you're not really meant to do but can kind of get away with. Don't use expired liquids. That's all I would say. That includes mascaras. Brow and things in case it gets in your eyes, especially things with fibers in, liquid liners, eye pencils.
I think it's just best, like, safe to say, don't go around the eyes.
Exactly, but powders, I think, is absolutely fine. And that's something people ask a lot. It's like, when does a powder go off? And oh, you won't have any in here. I was like, pass me a palette.
I was about to say,
and look at the expiry date, and it's usually a month, and I think that's what brands give you at best. Is like, use this for a month, 12 months. They give you that kind of long period of time. That's not a powder.
No, no.
James doesn't know what powder is.
So for example, this is...
Oh, sorry.
Let me get by my mic. For example, I think this is like the closest skincare related thing are powder washers. So like enzyme scrubs. Oh, yeah. They're literally just powder.
Yeah.
They don't usually have water in because obviously it's a powder. And... whilst they still do have like the 12 month like I would still use them after 12 months.
Oh, absolutely.
Like a little bit because it's a powder.
Not, yeah, we're not talking aggressively. Like don't do a nose pore strip every day. Don't use expired makeup every day. Yeah. but there are some things. Powder, I think, is one thing you can get away with. If there's fuzz growing on it, scrape it off. No, don't do that. Scrape it off, eat it.
Bite it off.
I'm going to throw it away, obviously. But listen, there's so much waste in makeup at the moment. If a brand gives you an eyeshadow palette that says it has a 12-month lifespan, who hits pan after 12 months on any powder product?
I certainly don't.
James does not hit pan. Yeah, throw away your mascaras after 3 months, so don't be stupid.
It's a bit like if you've got your vegetables and they're kind of a bit saggy.
I have a feeling.
I can put this in a stir fry because it's still okay.
I'm going to fry it up anyway.
But if your chicken.
Yeah. If your chicken has that oily sheen on it, like it's gone a bit green. Yeah. If it looks oil slick, then wash it first, then eat it. Wash it and then place it on the side. That's exactly it. I think, like food,
A bit of common sense.
Yeah. What, 2 days after expiry, if you haven't opened it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Especially when milk is a bit curdled, it's fine.
Oh my God.
Make it into scrambled eggs. Enki.
This is outside.
Is that free? Oh, you can open the door. You can open the door. I hear you crying, baby. Free that you, darling.
She's like, oh.
Hi, baby. In you come.
Hello. Do you want to sit down?
Why don't you relax?
Put your head here. Breathe a dog, everyone.
Did he want something? Or are you just gonna...
Don't lick my water.
Alright, we're gonna carry on, Bree, because...
Oh, she's licking the BHA, James.
Oh my God, her tongue's gonna be smooth.
Alright. Okay. One thing that I advise against doing, but also maybe you should do, so do but also don't,
I think we might have touched on this before, is reading the ingredient list of a skincare product. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this quite heavily in my videos. I'm a real advocate now against picking out individual ingredients and demonizing the product for that ingredient.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the problem with websites like, I think it's like CosDNA, Inky Coder, and EWG. So these are websites where you can type in a product.
But you can't cry while we're trying to record. You can't, darling.
What do you want?
She wants attention.
Hi, baby.
Crying for attention. The problem with these webs... What am I talking about? So you type in a product, it can be makeup as well, and it breaks down all the ingredients for you. Then what it does by each individual ingredient is tell you the potential risks in air quotations.
Oh, and it's like petroleum also in bombs.
Found in breast
used
cancer.
In
Yeah.
Awful.
Terrible, terrible things. Now, the problem with this is that we aren't cosmetic formulators.
Right.
We don't know how products, ingredients interact with each other, what cancels out what. Mm. I think a really good example that I mentioned, I always say I mentioned it in a video because I don't want people to think I'm repeating myself. I'm aware I'm repeating myself, is alcohol in skincare.
Right.
So everyone picks up alcohol, a product, sees alcohol as one of the top ingredients, and they're like, oh, it's going to dry out my skin. Mm. It's bad for me. But they fail to realize, for example, it's in a moisturizer.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that moisturizer going to dry you out because it's got that one ingredient in that has been maybe shown to be potentially drying, even though it actually hasn't?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So the problem with these websites...
Well, it has potential to dry out your
has
skin.
Has potential to dry out your skin. So for... what are you talking about?
What am I saying?
So I think the EWG, for example, is a perfect example of one that's really, really fear-mongering because the EWG have their own rating system.
Oh, Jesus.
And brands can basically be like, I want to be EWG verified, and they can pay to be EWG verified.
Oh, so
it doesn't really mean anything. Yeah. And what this means is that their products are clean, again, in quotations. Clean doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's an unregulated term. Each brand's definition of clean can be completely different.
Because, like you said, it's unregulated. There's no official...
It doesn't mean anything.
This is what clean means.
Exactly. Along with organic, along with natural, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So, the problem with picking up... So, for example, let me pick up a random product. This one. This one that's right next to me. So, I'm looking at the e.l.f. product I was talking about earlier, yeah? So we have
celery.
We have celery. Like we have coconut oil in here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No, hang on. We have dimethicone in here, which is a silicone, right? There's a product I absolutely hate, The Ordinary azelaic acid, which is very heavy in dimethicone. Dimethicone you find in a lot of primers because it's that velvety finish on the skin.
Mm.
However, dimethicone can be formulated in so many different ways. Had I picked up this product and looked at each individual ingredient, gone, oh, this moisturizer has dimethicone in, I'm not going to like it, and put it down.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I haven't taken into consideration how that dimethicone is formulated, why it's in there, first of all, in this amazingly moisturizing product that feels nothing like the azelaic acid that's heavy in dimethicone.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that as well. There's other ingredients like witch hazel as well that people think is drying. Even again, if you see it in a moisturizer. So these websites say things like they demonize parabens and they base it on a study that's been proven wrong.
Yeah.
So it's like a high risk because it was like It started the fear that parabens give you breast cancer, basically. Right. So, and these websites hold on to that with no scientific backing.
And there's more than one kind of paraben as well, right?
There's more than one kind of preservative. And that's like the issue I find with these websites. You cannot look at a product or review a product simply by breaking down the ingredients. Right. You can look at certain ingredients that have beneficial things like salicylic acid. You know why that's in there. If it's an exfoliating product, it might be going back to alcohol. If you look at a product, an ingredient, alcohol could be in there as a penetration enhancer. It could be a preservative. It can make the product glide nicer on the skin. You can't look at alcohol and be like, that's only in there to dry out my skin.
That's the same in makeup as some alcohol in setting sprays or hydrating mist, things like that. And it's there for a reason. Sometimes even something as simple as it helps it come out the aerosol quicker or faster or as a mist, you know? And it's not sitting on the skin and being like, oh, I'm alcohol on your skin and drying you out and crumbling your face off.
Well, exactly.
I think something, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said in a video, a YouTuber, they were like, oh, I don't use something on my skin because it has alcohol, and ever since then everyone's been like, oh no, alcohol in setting sprays and alcohol in this, and it's like, yeah, I mean, in like strong forms it's gonna do something to your skin, but when it's a tiny bit, like a denatured alcohol in a setting spray, for example, it's not the worst thing that's gonna happen.
That's the thing, is like, people don't make products for us to absolutely hate them,
right?
Do you know what I mean? Like, they want us to like their products, and people don't formulate skincare like they used to, like the Clean and Clear blackhead cleanser, whatever the fuck was an astringent toner, very very heavy in alcohol, but that's down to formulation, that's not down to the fact that it's got alcohol in it,
right,
you know?
But
then also do check the ingredient list. These websites are great if you have an allergy, if you know you're allergic to something. Like, there's a particular blue colouring that my skin really dislikes, and I'm not sure why. And if I see that in a product, I will... I've always had a thing with blue colouring.
We got a blue soap once, and it made us break out.
Yeah, like, our hands went all like... And I've noticed that in a few, like, gel moisturisers, this particular blue colouring that's synthetic will make my skin go funny. So that, sometimes I'll look for that, but other than that, you can't judge a product by looking at each individual ingredients.
Right.
But do check it if you have allergies.
Yeah. Do and do.
Don't.
Don't.
And don't.
And don't. So, my next one, again, it's quite, controversial in makeup, and that is prepping the skin with primer or not at all.
But aren't you an advocate of primer?
I'm an advocate of primer. Yeah. I like primer, but sometimes I do not use primer. So here's...
You're a liar, then.
I absolutely 100% eye primer, no excuses. Don't argue with me. Face primer, however, this is a thing anyway that people are like, primer does nothing, primer does something, and that depends on skin type. I have to use a primer on my skin because it is such an extreme version of a skin type. Like, I'm extremely oily. If I was like just kind of oily, I wouldn't bother, but I'm extremely oily, so yes. And if you're extremely dry, I think so also. But then there's also this thing of over prepping the skin as well.
Yeah,
so if you over... Why did I clap?
I don't know. Why did you clap?
Why did I just clap? If you... Is it in my crimping heart? Oh, it's all right.
No, it's fine. You
okay. We're all clapping. So sometimes over-prepping your skin can be a little bit of a... it's going to ruin your makeup sometimes. And there's a few ways it does that, as in physically the makeup on your face, and then sometimes the makeup in its compact, for example. So on your face, if you prime it too much, foundation won't sit on the skin properly, and then the moisture will come through and break everything down. If you don't prep at all, then you get textured skin, or you get like too much dry skin. There's, you know what I see all the time? It's people dripping like a shitload of oil on their skin.
Ugh.
And then they put on a foundation. That's over prepping, that's using too much, you know. But then they do something like, they'll put on a foundation, then they'll use a brush in a powder or bronzer on top of wet skin and put that brush into the compact. So the brush is wet, it's going back into a powder compact, and now that's wet, if that makes sense, and you're ruining your product. So that's over prepping the skin. There have been times where I haven't prepped my skin at all. Just when I've been quick, if I want to take a picture for Instagram or I'm doing a video and I'm just talking, then I won't prep my skin at all and my makeup's looked incredible.
They're the videos where you look like dry and really
They're porous. The videos where my face looks like it's a radish.
An actual
Where, with onion bits. Crispy onion. No, my skin looks really, really smooth. And I think sometimes, this always used to be a thing, when I worked for Mac, I would go in early and I would have like an hour and I would sit there and I would have got a drink from Starbucks. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to really do my face really well today. And the longer you spend doing it, the more it fucks up. And you're like, I'm going to take everything off. And then you quickly redo it in like 1 minute and it looks fine. Yeah. So I think there's, as well as finding your balance of skincare and priming, don't over prep your skin. Maybe just use a moisturizer and then go on top with, you know, your foundation. But also do over prep your skin. Over prep your skin. But I think you know how your skin is that day. For example, sometimes my nose is drier than any other time. Sometimes my nose is extremely oily. So I think it's nice to be prepared and have those two setups ready. James, you have a question.
I have a question. So when would you use a primer? When you're feeling oily or when you're feeling dry or both? Or like, when do you use one?
So if you're feeling extremely dry, and you don't have to, you can just use a really rich moisturizer. But I find that a primer will help with the texture part of that.
Sure.
It's not going to repair your skin.
Sure.
It might not make your foundation look incredibly smooth or last longer, but like
it's just
they
a temporary
claim to do.
Effect,
yeah, yeah, it's just going to help with... Oh, I'm going to burp. No, I'm not. I was either going to burp or be sick. But it's more... This is the thing. I think there's so many claims with primers. They're like, oh, it's going to make you look poreless and look like a professional. And then and then nothing happens and it's shit. And then people think they don't work.
Right.
Whereas if one day I had like really dry skin around my nose, I'm like, okay, now I need to grab like my Milk Hydro Grip. Because I know that's going to help with the texture. This microphone. The microphone's on my cheek because my voice is so tinny.
Because this stupid echoey voice.
I have to face away. Or for example, if I know I'm going to be extremely oily one day, then I'll grab my other primer I haven't found yet. That doesn't work. Oh, no. You know what? The Ofra powder is like a mattifying mist, if that makes sense, that
sure.
I used before. But if I'm just feeling like my skin's neither or today, I'm just going to use moisturiser. That's
okay.
It. So yeah. Do prep your skin, but with a lot of product, you know, and not a lot of product, but a moisturizer, primer, spray if you have to, a hydrating mist, but also don't.
Talking about over prepping your skin.
Yeah, I need a wee.
Oh.
Music.
Bye.
Ha ha ha.
Robert's weeing.
Speaking of over-prepping the skin, don't do too many steps in your skincare routine.
Don't.
So there was this whole trend.
Oh, there is. Oh.
Oh.
How exciting.
The Paula's Choice Exfoliate 2% BHA Liquid Exfoliant. This is an old one. I'll give you a new one. There was a time where the 10-step Koreans, 10-step skin glass skin routine.
Yes, glass skin, boiled skin.
It wasn't boiled skin.
Yes, you look like a lovely piece of boiled chicken breast.
Yeah. This was a huge trend, right? And as the name suggests, it was literally doing 10 steps in your routine. Glass skin is pretty much about hydration, and that talks mainly about this like almost like transparent shiny skin that looks clear and even right with a glow. All these are is a result of a lot of steps in your routine and hydration. That's all it is hydration. The 10-step routine was started not in Korea, funnily enough. It's like a marketing tactic to sell
people
a lot
still
of that. But it is also you're not supposed to do all 10 steps. It's just like the 10 possible steps that you can do in a skincare routine.
Right.
But if you do it all together, your skin does look very, very nice. So this is what I say about a 10-step routine, overhydrating the glass skin. Glass skin is not a permanent result. Glass skin equals well hydrated skin, but you'll never look like you have glass skin unless you've just sat down and done a 10-step hydrating routine. So what this is perfect for is I will always do it before I'm filming. I'll do it before I take a picture. I'll do it before I go out for the day if I'm going to an event, which I never go to. I always say that, like, I go to events, I don't anymore.
Always at events.
Always at events. It's a temporary look on your skin. It's like a skincare makeup. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's something that's going to give you this luminosity and glow and healthy looking sheen until that evening when all your natural oils have come back. Or, do you know what I mean? So do it on special occasions. Don't do it every single fucking day.
Because like, how long? Need. I mean, you're going to do it and it's just going to get oily and greasy.
There is such thing as using too many products. Well, a lot of people say simpler is better, but I personally believe using too much of the wrong stuff is the issue, not using too many things. I feel like using too much of the wrong stuff is a big is a bigger issue. So, like, have your 10 steps, use your essences, use your serums, and use your, like, night mask, but know when to use them. Like, I won't use an essence every day now because I've got toners and serums that are kind of like a blend and make an essence, you know? But if I do want that dewy, luminous, glowy looking skin, I will do 10 steps. But there is an idea that overhydration can actually lead to some irritation as well. I believe that's what I personally experience with overuse of hyaluronic acid. And that's another thing when it comes to 10 step routines, is using too much of one ingredient. If I look at my routine, or like a possible routine, nearly every single product is going to have niacinamide in. Or like, there's like, everyone's blending products together now, so you can do a whole routine and every single step is going to have an exfoliating ingredient in, and you won't know it, and you could be using that every single day, and too many of the wrong products all in one go together. So don't do a 10-step Korean glass skin boiled chicken routine, but don't.
Here's the thing. You know, you always say to me how I, when I put makeup on, I always completely mattify my face. And then I add shine afterwards.
I don't like it.
This is exactly why. Because if I was to prep my skin, thinking that, oh, I want my skin to look really great and shiny and glossy, and like, I've just come from the sun or whatever, and then
from the sun
it's all going to break down my makeup, so that's why I always completely mattify my face,
right? And then you add that glow
and then add the shine after, so it's an artificial shine, but I make it as real possible. Talking about what would it call mattifying your face, are you done?
I guess.
Okay. So do it. Powder everywhere.
Expired powder.
Expired powder, but just by 13 months.
Okay.
Everywhere. So face powder. Let's talk about face powder. A lot of people bake. I'm never going to agree with baking, ever. People use powder everywhere, and a lot of people use it even when they don't have to. So with powder, like I always say, it's the when you need it, where you need it, if you need it.
Gotcha.
However, don't.
Don't.
So I always talk about how you don't have to set your foundation with powder. I think that's become a trend, and like you said in like this 10-step Korean thing, I think brands kind of want to push out that a setting powder is a necessary step
in order to sell their powder.
In order to sell it more, they'll call it a baking powder, which is only to be used for baking, even though it's just 90s powder, which nobody actually wants to use anymore. And then they'll use like fine powders, which is for the rest of the face. All of them are going to do the same thing anyway.
Oh yeah, because you're all like, use jet milled powders.
But do use jet milled powder.
Okay,
but do it. No, do. Jet milled powder is so much better than that nasty baking powder. Baking powder is leftover powder. It's not actually, but it feels like 90s powder or the first ever powder that ever existed.
Like talc. It's just talc.
Yeah. It's baby powder and talc and probably mica. What was I going to say? But yeah, and I always say to use it just in the areas you need to, like your nose or the forehead. Or anywhere where you get a little bit shiny. But at the same time, if you do have an oilier face, it is nice to use it absolutely everywhere.
Right.
In very small, tiny, tiny amounts.
Doses. Small doses.
Oh, sorry. I mean, you don't really have a dose
no,
of powder.
Yeah, no, I get that now. I suppose it quite be.
Sorry, I spoke too soon.
No.
But it depends on the brush you use as well. So if you have a big, massive powder brush, they tend to be a little bit less dense.
Right.
Whereas some people use like a sponge for their powder, which is dense and firm.
And that's when they're like,
That's when they're like, let me sponge this onto my face.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I totally too close? Am I too close to the microphone?
No, it's fine. Just notice you're clapping. You're not clapping.
I'm rising close to you clapping.
Because I'm telling facts.
Okay, right.
And I'm clapping, but I'm also making an air pocket.
You can clap.
I can clap. This is life-changing today. Yeah, so it really depends on the brush or sponge. So if you are going to use powder absolutely everywhere in your whole face, get a brush that's like really long hairs, because that means they're not as dense. They like move the elf more.
Like cleansing the elf club.
Real hair. Real. No, if you're vegan, of course.
Just get a wig.
Yeah, get a wig. And use the end of a mop. But the longer the hairs, the better. Because it has more movement to the hairs, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Whereas a brush is smaller and denser, that's going to pick up more product. Mm. So if you have to absolutely powder everywhere, don't use a long hair brush.
Okay.
Don't do it all the time, though. Okay. Because you don't always need to.
So don't.
So don't.
Okay, I got one last one for me. Sheet marks.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about these, because I was sent some recently, and I was like... I don't want to use these.
Yeah. So here's the thing. They're wasteful. They're very wasteful. And I think the more like advanced, in air quotations again, sheet masks become with their pure cotton technology.
Sorry.
What was that? You should like sniffed in and burped and gagged at the same time.
I hiccuped and burped and was breathing in at the same time. I think I can smell blood in my nose. Okay, carry on.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Are you dying or should we carry on?
No, okay. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Okay. So yeah, the more they become advanced, the more kind of like plastics are involved, basically. So like they're always in like this little netting.
Oh, and the rubber masks.
Right. Mm. So they're not, and there's this whole thing as well, like biodegradable masks. Biodegradable is another non-regulated term. Anything can be biodegradable.
I didn't know
because
that,
it eventually biodegrades.
Stop.
So this bit of metal here, I could be like, biodegradable metal. Because maybe in like 20,000 years, it will eventually be gone. So technically it is biodegradable.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. I'm in shock.
So you do...
Soon the sun will get so big that we'll burnt.
And that's when.
Nothing will survive.
Wait, what are we doing?
So then that's when the metal will biodegrade.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's when it
when monkeys take over the world again.
Yeah. Planet the apes.
And live, yeah, Planet the Apes. And olives. Olives everywhere.
Olives with faces.
Eat them all you can. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So you do get some amazing sheet masks that are actually 100% like fruit pulp. So they make like a cotton and they actually biodegrade. The problem is you don't really need to use a sheet mask.
Mm.
There's other relaxing masks you can use, like clay masks. But the good thing about a sheet mask is that, for me, what I personally used to like about them a lot is they are fuss-free. You put them on, 15 minutes, take them off, rub it in. You don't have to go to the sink, wash it off,
right,
get it stuck in your facial hair, your hair, whatever. They're just serums.
See, this is what I was going to say. Because they kind of act like a different stage of... I think a lot of people would like wash their face, do some stuff, and then pop this on and call it a night.
Yeah.
But it's just one stage of your
skincare. It's one stage of your routine. So with masks, they're always... you can always relate them to another stage of your routine. Peel-off masks are an exfoliation stage, right? Clay masks are pretty much a cleansing stage. Yeah, sheet masks are a serum stage.
Yeah.
So what you can do, if you do want to do this, because they can sometimes be relaxing, and there is an idea that because you're kind of like creating this occlusive layer with the sheet mask, your serum is penetrating better. You're creating like this atmosphere that allows the serum to penetrate the skin better.
Yeah.
You can buy reusable rubber masks. So you can put your serum on, like not rub it in properly and put this like rubber mask thing over your face and you just wash that, right? Yeah. Now, I'm not one for... I'm drinking out of a plastic cup here. But I am an advocate of like every little help. Every actually substantial thing can help.
Yeah.
There are some things that are like, you know, like reef safe sunscreen is like a big thing at the moment.
Right.
And that's not really anything. There are 200 other environmental issues that that are causing like reef bleaching before chemical sunscreens, for example.
James's Miss Universe speech.
Yeah. and there are other things. Global warming and such. Yeah, and such and vote. Do you know what I mean? So, but I do believe like little things like that. Like we all know plastics is a big issue.
Yeah.
And it's not about doing everything right. It's about doing those little things. Right. Everyone doing little things that make a bigger picture.
You have a question?
May I question?
Yes.
So you mentioned fruit pulp mask.
Fruit pulp mask. Okay.
So obviously I'm going to exaggerate my question for comedic purposes, but the point is still there. So say, is there anything you can do naturally? So say I peeled a parsnip, could I just put the skin on my face? Obviously, no, I can't. But in your day to day, are you creating a waste that still has something within it that would be beneficial? Because I think back to, say, people putting cucumbers and stuff in their eyes. Mm. I know that's like a... it's not real. I don't know if it's real or not. But is there something you can use naturally?
DIY skincare needs to die.
The whole thing is...
The whole thing. This is my personal opinion that I've seen like dermatologists talk about this. Papaya extract, for example, in skincare is formulated within a product to enter your skin. Mm. Our skin is very good at keeping stuff out. Right, so you need that stuff because, like you know, if it rained and it was anything that fell on our skin went into our skin,
we'd
be like sponges, which our skin isn't. So our skin's very good at keeping stuff out. So papaya extract is one thing I see a lot in skincare at the moment, and a lot of DIYs. There's a huge difference between putting papaya on your face for 10 minutes and rinsing it off to having it formulated within a product.
Right, it needs science in it.
It needs science in it.
It needs and to be this regulated
is,
as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And this is the thing: like, you can go out and pick a papaya, and it might not have those benefits that it does. It's got like slight papain, it's slightly exfoliating, but that harvest or whatever it's called might not have a good amount of it.
Right, it might have a different percentage.
Yeah, you don't know your percentages within that. My issue with DIY skincare as well, if we're talking about from an environmental kind of thing, there's this whole issue of like you're wasting food. You're in the long run, people are always like, oh, but I can't afford to buy skincare. This is why I do DIY. Think about all the DIY you're doing, all the food you're wasting. Mm. You can make your own moisturizer with no preservatives that will last 2 days, if that. Right. Whereas you can spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds keeping buying these bulk ingredients where you could just save up for a couple months if you need to and buy a good moisturizer that's going to last you a year, right? Exactly. If you use it correctly.
13 months.
But then this is the thing as well with organic and natural again in quotations and organic in quotations, unregulated terms, but you just... the environmental impact that has, rather than scientists, amazing, amazing scientists and cosmetic formulators sat in a lab creating these synthetic versions of that are predictable, that we know how they work,
right.
That they can say, what is that going to do to your skin in a year's time, for example, is way more environmentally conscious than going all natural.
And this is the thing as well, people forget. Skincare, makeup, it's a science.
It's a science.
There's years, hundreds, hundreds, hundreds of years of research behind it. Mistakes being made, amazing things being done, and brands making their iconic products that then other brands copy, you know? There's a lot of work that goes into it to be like, I don't want to buy this because of chemicals.
Yeah.
And then make your own fucking lemon face scrub or lemon face mask or papaya is ridiculous.
One of my favorite blogs, YouTube channels, Instagram profiles is the EcoWell, ECOWell. Mm. Jen, who runs that, is amazing. She made a post the other day that said clean beauty is anti-science.
Yeah.
And it is, because, again, it doesn't mean anything. Clean beauty suggests that there is dirty beauty, that there is some kind of bad for you thing.
Right.
Skin care is regulated. Cosmetics are regulated.
Yes. Yeah.
And one thing I hear a lot of as well, I think we do really talk about... No, someone mentioned this the other day, is that the EU has a lot more... has a long list of ingredients that you can't put in cosmetics.
Right. Is it Blair who mentioned this or not?
Yeah, it was Blair, Mm-hmm. So, whereas America doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
The thing there is that America... I wasn't going to say that, uses common sense. Whereas the EU is like, you can't have rocket fuel in your skincare.
Right.
You can't have, you know, things that you would never find in skincare.
Right, right.
That's kind of like what's going on there. So when people say that US cosmetics aren't regulated, they are. They just have a more common sense approach. Like, why? Imagine going to the shop and seeing a moisturizer instead of like gluten-free, rocket oil-free. Like, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, like, why would that be in there anyway? Yeah. Went off on a tangent there. But this is the thing. Like, I feel like it's really... this whole clean beauty thing just kind of discredits all the work that has been done, all the scientific research, all like the strives that people have made to genuinely improve the environmental impact of cosmetics as well.
It's like using essential oils to cure disease.
Yes. So yes, way up
the skincare
there.
Version.
Yeah,
skincare
so just version. So I understand, to yeah. summarise, yeah. when you do it this way, this DIY way, you're one, not actually offsetting anything.
Nope.
Two, not actually getting the benefit to your skin.
Right.
And three, you're not actually saving money or, and wasting your own time.
Yeah. I think there was a video I did where I worked out how much money it would cost you to make. I can't remember what the calculation was, but it was insane. Ridiculous. Like, you're paying like £400 to do DIY.
And it's like, it's things like when these homemade things, like that, do you remember that cleanse, that like lemonade diet?
Oh my
it's
God.
Like you need this certain kind of maple syrup. It can't just be this kind. Mm. When it's like DIY recipes, it's like, look for organic this and organic, and it, like it's going to be any better. But you're spending more money, although it is more, you know, it's better to spend more money on organic food for eating reasons. But for skincare, which it shouldn't be, you're spending so much money. You're thinking about
organic food still uses chemicals and preservatives. Exactly, you know, there's not much.
But, you know, the chickens can have races, whatever they do.
Chickens are racist. What? No. Oh, wait, what?
I meant to say chickens can run in fields. That came out as racist chickens.
That's what chemicals does.
That's
to
what
you.
Chemicals does to chickens. Well, you know, it's more of a what's the word? What's it called being a nice person reason?
Yeah, it's more of like a
caring about
thing.
The environment.
But then organic, the waste that comes from organic farming. I feel like this is a whole different episode.
I don't even know anything
insane.
About that.
I'm like, you're not doing any favors. Like, people think it's this healthy kind of like.
Yeah.
But then I'm the complete opposite. I'm like, if science says this preservative is fine for me to eat, I'm going to eat it.
Sure.
I mean, like,
absolutely.
But then I understand why you want to do that. But then you're not doing it for environment. So stop pretending you are.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm not going to go shopping with loads of jars.
No, I said that's another thing when it comes to recycling packaging is the cost of shipping jars and even recycling jars and environmental impact that has over washing and reusing plastic or recycling plastic is way bigger than plastic. Do you know what I mean? So when people are like, oh, I think that should come in a glass jar, it's better for the environment, that's not necessarily the truth either. So it's a whole thing.
Listen, we're not professionals. Yeah. So we don't know about racist chickens.
Yeah, let us know if you've ever encountered a racist chicken.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
So do all of those.
Yes. Don't
you
do
better
that.
Not do. But do. Do all these things we just said. Let us know if you don't.
Let us know your don't. I'm glad that wasn't a confusing episode.
Yeah, I'm glad. Listen, take that as advice and don't. So, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a week.
Yeah, it's been a week.
We will see you next week. Follow us on all our social medias at the Double Cleanse Podcast on Instagram. We have Twitter, but we never use it, so don't worry about that.
I don't even know.
Like this podcast. Is that something you do?
I don't know.
Like and subscribe.
Rate, review.
That's it, review. Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Okay.
And I guess we'll see you next week if
we'll come up with something on the day and we'll record it, I guess.
And hopefully it'll be something as good as dirt.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hold on, don't forget Goldie_Lee_11, you won the giveaway.
Oh yeah.
So, see you soon.
We'll be in touch today. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, because this goes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it'll be today.
Today, tomorrow. As in today.
We'll do it tomorrow.
We'll do it tomorrow.
What? Bye.
Bye.